This is continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
From a device.
It generally has less information, correct?
In this case, if you look at the extraction, the forensic extraction, there's significantly less data in her phone extraction than in other devices' extractions in this case.
Yes. Yes, there is less data, but that may be an indication of less data on her device as well.
I want to talk about the morning of July 18th of 2014. I didn't write down the slide number, but you indicated earlier that, and you had a slide that Wendy called Donna, Donna called Wendy. Can you pull that up?
I can.
Thank you. What slide number is this?
This is slide 196.
Thank you. So slide 196, your analysis reveals that Wendy called her mother first, correct?
Well, these calls are at, as noted, at the same time. So they're both at 8:09. And one of the limitations we have with some of the sets of records we have is that some were provided with only hours and minutes of call, and some were provided with hours, minutes, and seconds. So these calls actually occurred in the same minute, but it's possible that Donna's call was first.
Okay. Don't you have records that indicate seconds?
We do have records that indicate
specific
seconds.
For this day?
I don't know if we have specific for this day. We have multiple sets of records and multiple overlapping sets of records.
You have been involved in this case since its inception, since Mr. Markell was murdered, correct?
Yes.
And it's typically in your field best to use records that have more data rather than less, correct?
Generally, yes.
Okay. Have you gone back to determine who called whom first?
I have not, but I could.
And so if I were to tell you that records with seconds reveal that Donna Adelson gets a call from Geek Squad and immediately calls her daughter, and then while Donna is calling her daughter, Geek Squad calls her daughter, would that also be consistent with both calls happening at 8:09?
Yes.
Okay. And by using the records with more information, you would be able to present this in an accurate order, would you not?
They both indicate the time of 8:09 for the calls, and as discussed or as presented, hopefully, that there was a phone tag that occurred here at 8:09. And so that, yes.
I believe you had moved to slide 210. Now, this is after the text message exchange between Wendy Adelson and Dan Markell, correct?
Correct.
And that's the one where after Mr. Markell had left a voicemail for Wendy texts him and saying, swimming won't work today because I'm picking the kids up at 3:30.
Correct.
And then they kind of have a disagreement about the time that Wendy can pick the boys up.
They do.
After Wendy gets that information from Mr. Markell, she then calls her brother.
Correct.
She didn't call her mother.
No.
Now, I believe after this call between Wendy and Charlie, Charlie, I think it's on slide 213, he tries to call Donna.
Correct.
30 seconds, that indicates to you that the call did not connect.
More than likely.
I believe if you go to slide 272. May have gotten the slide wrong. If you can back up a couple of slides, please. So the text, I believe that the state inadvertently mischaracterized the evidence and testimony in the questioning. The last connection to a cell tower for Donna Adelson was at 8:59, not 8:35, correct?
For 8:59, for location, like location that we would use?
Yes.
I don't recall an 8:59 event.
Okay. I'm sorry. So you have the 8:59 as the text message.
That's correct.
And that's from Charlie Adelson's iCloud.
That is correct.
And you don't get location from that?
We do not. And so, probably important to point out, some of these are chats, so they're actually occurring over the data network. They're iMessage versus carrier-based text messaging, where we're more likely to see locations associated with text. So with the iCloud, and knowing that those are traversing the iMessage or the Apple network, it's common for us not to have locations attached to those.
So in that regard, iMessages aren't going to show up in call detail records.
They do not.
Other apps, communication apps, are not going to show up in call detail records.
That's correct.
Now this tragedy took place a little over 11 years ago, correct?
Yes.
And up until your July 10th, 2025 deposition, you had not done the drive yourself, had you?
That's correct.
Did you do any research to determine what construction had taken place at I-95 between July 18th of 2014 and July 18th of 2025.
I-95 where?
Where you drove.
Not the I know that there was a number of changes to I-95 at the area where it separates from the turnpike, the Florida turnpike. I did specifically look at the turnpike in relation to Mr. Adelson's residence to make sure that there had been no changes in the roadway there.
Okay, so the turnpike, it's your testimony that in the last 11 years, the turnpike in that area has not been widened?
I don't recall it has been widened. The off-ramp is in the same location. The aerial photography is exactly the same for that exchange. And again, the drive was done because there was a question raised somewhere along the way about the ability to get off the turnpike and to Mr. Adelson's residence. And so just to clarify that, the net more research was done. And so again, looking at that, there's been a number of changes around that area. Water drainage have been filled in, buildings have been built, all kinds of things have happened, but the roadway itself remains the same.
So again, my question is, has the road been widened? Has there been construction?
There may have been construction and replacement. I can say with certainty, and I can look at it again, but with certainty, the routes, the off-ramps, the exchanges are in the same position that they are. If the lanes are a little wider, there was no significant change in anything about getting off the turnpike and getting over to Mr. Adelson's road.
Sergeant Corbett, I don't know if I'm asking a poor question or you're misunderstanding. Has there been construction on the turnpike in the last 11 years?
I'm sure there has, yes.
Did you do anything to determine if that had happened?
Yes.
Okay. And yet, you're still giving us a qualified answer.
You're asking about widening. I don't recall seeing, and again, the area that I looked at was the turnpike, the off-ramp of the turnpike, the exchange that goes to the east, and then connects with Mr. Adelson's road. There were no changes to that. If the turnpike was widened somewhere, that may be possible. I did not look for that. Again, I'm looking for the path of travel had not changed.
So you looked for records that would be consistent with the state's theory? To establish that the route hadn't been altered in any way.
The question raised was, can you get off the turnpike and get to Charlie Adelson's residence? And the answer is yes.
Now, what were the traffic conditions on July 18th of 2014?
I do not know.
Did you do anything to try to find that out?
I did.
And what did you do?
I tried to research through Department of Transportation if they had traffic and crash data going back that far, and I did not find any.
Is that because the retention period had been exceeded?
Most likely, yes.
What is a retention period?
I do not know the exact retention period.
No. Tell us, what is a retention period?
I'm sorry. A retention period would be a policy of a holder of information for how long they hold that. And so carriers have retention periods for their cell phone records. It may be 1 year. And after 1 year, they purge that data. Could be 2 years, could be 10 years. But that retention period or is a policy for how long they retain records.
And so as we sit here today, do you know the retention period for DHS-MV to keep accident records?
I do not.
What about construction records for I-95 and the turnpike?
I do not.
Did you do anything to collect construction records for I-95 or the turnpike between July 18th of 2014 and the present day?
No.
How many lanes were on 95 between my client's residence in Miami Beach and her son's residence back in 2014?
I do not know the exact number.
What about now?
It varies. There were six or more in certain places. There was construction going on when I drove.
What about the turnpike? How many lanes were on the turnpike back in 2014?
Again, varies by the location where you're at, but 2 to 3 in any direction.
And what about now?
Same now. I say same now. Depending upon where we're talking about, so I'm looking at a very narrow stretch of the turnpike. Talk about the turnpike gets in entirety. I'm sure it's undergone a lot of changes.
Now, when you did this drive, you had gas in your car, correct?
I did.
You did not have to stop for gas while you're doing this test drive, did you?
During those particular sessions or sections, no, I did not.
You had snacks with you?
I did.
So you didn't have to stop for snacks?
I did not have to.
Did you stop for any meals along the way during this drive test?
During these particular sessions or sections of road travel, no, I did not.
And there's a reason I'm going to ask this question. How old were you at the time you did this test?
55.
So not in your 60s, not in your 70s?
Not quite.
Now, have you ever driven, been on the highway, got behind a slow-moving vehicle? It frustrates you, right?
It may, yes.
And you have an opportunity to pass them, you drive by, and you see someone older driving.
Sometimes, yes.
Okay. Do you know how fast Harvey and Donna Adelson were driving on July 18th of 2014?
I do not.
And so, not knowing how fast they are driving, can you give an accurate estimate for how long the drive would take them?
I think I can give an accurate estimate based on speed limit and distance, but as far as how they, which is, I believe, substantiated by segments of travel. So the travel from the 832 point to Charlie Adelson's was very consistent with the estimations. The travel from 1053 to the hotel, consistent with estimations.
Well, I want to stop you right there. The 1053 point, can you pull that up, please?
I believe it's actually here.
Go to the next slide or series where we show 1053 to Orlando. Perfect. That section of the turnpike is not as in an area that is as densely populated as the section to the south, is it?
It's not.
Okay. And so the section south on the turnpike, you're going to get more commuter traffic than you will in this section, correct?
I would agree with that, yes. Okay.
And so you're not going to necessarily be in as stop and go traffic as you would if you were to the south.
Usually, yes, I would agree with that.
Now, was anything done, or let me ask this differently. Do you know whether or not at the time Donna and Harvey Adelson left their apartment on Miami Beach to start driving north, had they eaten dinner?
I do not know.
Did they have a full tank of gas?
Do not know.
How many times did they stop to go to the bathroom?
Do not know.
Did they stop to get coffee?
They may have.
This was late night.
I did.
And you're much younger than they were at the time. You stopped for coffee.
I did.
Just a moment, Your Honor.
Go
Sergeant Corbett, you just made a statement that I believe your deposition testimony contradicted. You said the time that it would take to get from their residence to Charlie Adelson's residence. Can you, with the call detail records, place my client, Donna Adelson's handset at Charlie Adelson's residence on July 18th of 2014?
From cell site locations in the records? No.
And at no point on July 18th of 2014 can you place Donna Adelson's handset and or Harvey Adelson's handset connecting to the same cell site at the same time as Charlie Adelson's handset?
That's correct.
So from the call detail records, you cannot testify, you cannot tell this jury that my client was at her son's house.
That's correct.
Nothing further.
Correct.
Yes, sir. Did the text messages place Donna Adelson at Charlie Adelson's house?
I believe the outside your house text message is indicative of her being outside his house.
Okay, that's what Donna Adelson tells us in that text message, right?
I believe so, yes.
And then she has an hour and 6 minutes, was it, of unaccounted for time on the stretch of the drive that's on the same stretch of the drive where Charlie Adelson's house is, right?
Correct.
You got lots of, and did you do this drive in 2025 because the defense questioned the fact that you hadn't done it, didn't know if you could do it in the 2025 depo?
There was a question. As to who raised it, I'm not certain.
Okay, thank you. You got lots of questions about construction on the turnpike. Defense asked if their client could have gotten stopped for that extra hour that's unaccounted for in construction. Did Donna Adelson tell us in that text message where she stopped on the drive? Did she say she was outside of Charlie Adelson's house?
Agreed.
Okay, and then Charlie Adelson gave her his estimated time of arrival at the house for 10 minutes from then. Is that
correct?
Right?
Correct.
If the Adelsons were just driving really slow on that first part of the drive where they have over an hour of unaccounted for time, would they then have had to speed up to normal cruising speed for the second part of the drive where they made it from the 1053 location to Orlando inconsistent with a consistent amount of time as the estimated time that we see on Esri?
Yes. The second part of that, the second half, if we'll call it, of the trip was done at close to the estimated time. So the speed and travel were close to what would be expected. The first half of that trip, it was not.
Okay. And when you did the drive and went from the 832 or 834 location?
Yes, one of those. Before the end of the 835 call.
Okay. 834 location. When you did that drive, were you able to get on the same day of the week, the same time of Friday night, from that point to Charlie Adelson's house in the estimated amount of time?
I was, yes.
Okay. And same with the second part of the drive from Charlie Adelson's house to the 1053 location. Was that consistent with the estimated time from Esri?
With just a few minutes, yes. Or within just a few minutes.
All right. And you would have been driving in the same conditions in North Miami, same date, same time of day as the Adelsons drove in 2014?
As close as I could get.
And did you say in this the emails for the Evite that Donna Adelson told Evite that she entered the invitees as contacts?
Correct.
In the beginning of cross-examination, defense asked you a bit about the things that could affect cell site towers, several variables that could affect cell site towers. But if those variables existed that affected these cell site towers and kept the cell site towers from having too much load to be able to handle this communication, would we see phone communication with those cell site towers in the records as we do?
Again, if the tower was not operational, No, the handset is not going to communicate with it. But those things, again, when we're talking about the inclusion and exclusion, where a handset could be, we're aware that there may be cell sites that are closer, that may be stronger, bigger, taller. And all of that we take into consideration when we estimate the area that might be consistent with where the handset was.
Is there anything in the records that caused you to believe these records or analysis is unreliable in any way?
Yeah.
Just a second. No further questions. Thank you.
Sergeant, you may step down, finally.
Thank you, sir.
Well, this what?
More continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson is coming up from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.